Hi, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, world pastor, that is, and we're on part 82 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 184, and if you'd like a copy of it after the program, you can order it. Sharon will give you four different ways that you can order it. And we have some letters here. I don't know what they say. I haven't listened to them, but Michelle will be reading those. And right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service and make it, Father, as You speak through me, make it make a difference in the people's lives out in the world, that their lives will change from bad to better, from bad to good, from evil to good. And let the Holy Spirit convict those that are sitting in churches everywhere that are not really saved, and that they too will be saved as well. Lord, I ask that You bind Satan on earth, and if you want to speak through me and uncover more things today, well, then I pray that You'll do it so that Satan can be bound in heaven, just as we bind it here on earth by exposing it. Father, I ask it in. And Lord, I pray that everyone, every mother that is a good mother, has a very happy Mother's Day. This is Mother's Day today. It's a very important day because everyone that's in the world had a mother, and there wouldn't be any population at all. And I pray, Lord, that You convict the evil people in government to honor Mother's Day by taking the taxation off of people that are married and giving tax breaks to homosexuals and sending children to have abortions and giving them birth control pills and condoms. Lord, I pray that You will convict these wicked people, that their souls might be saved. I pray, Lord, that You will convict homosexuals and people that are in the Catholic cult and Buddhism and Mohammedism, that they'll come out of there and receive the only true Messiah, the only true God. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Okay.
My very dear Pastor Tony Alamo, my thankfulness. I thank You for having thought of me with good while sending me the Bibles, a series of world newsletters, pamphlets such as Beware of the Blessings from the Vatican and its Clergy, and French Messiah books, a work that is about the divinity of Jesus Christ. Thank You again. I eagerly would like You to please write me down on your list of co-workers here in Africa, if that is possible, because I want to learn from You. This gift that You have planted in my heart surpasses all other things. My thanks I send to You and those of the other beloved that I have been able to share some of the books, Bibles, and literature with. Many of them are convinced that the Lord has put exceptional truths in your heart, which are transforming the lives of the people here. Once again, I send my sincere thanks and encourage you to do this more. If you want to, please include my name on your list of monthly distributors. Etienne from Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo.
Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, the next letter, please.
From Galesburg, Illinois.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I just wanted to thank you for the CD, How to Have God's Life Living in You. It was so wonderful to listen to your Easter service and to be able to hear it. Praise the Lord. I have started back to church at Calvary Assembly of God Church. I used to go to that church and actually was saved back in the 80s. I was wondering, since I have become a backslider, about going to church, if I need to know if I should be rebaptized.
Well, a person can be baptized again because it must have been that you were not being fed in your church the Holy Spirit, and also it's a strong possibility that if you did the things that you were doing, you left and went away from the Lord, that you may have done it ignorantly. And if you did, you need to repent again. Yes, it seems as though you have. And then, yes, it's all right to be baptized again, but this time, make it stick. And then what?
I didn't go to church because Jerry said there were no churches in our town that preach the true gospel, the pure church. I'm confused, but I feel God's love moving in me, and I want to stay that way. I would like you to send me your literature, Biting the Bullet. Again, I want to thank you for the CD, and God bless your work throughout the world. Again, thank you.
Okay, well, you only have one CD of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is the 82nd CD or tape that I've done recently. I've done many hundreds of tapes similar to that in the past, but you can get all these CDs or that you want, and we're on the internet. In case you don't have one, we send you tapes, all you need, and it sounds as though you're going to need a lot of my literature. So when we send literature, don't just send her, he or she, I don't know,
she.
It's a she. Send her also a copy of every one of my newsletters, at least 40 or 50 back, so that she can read them and get strong in the Lord and begin knowing what the Bible says more than she ever has before. Okay? And then what?
Yours in Christ, Marilyn. P.S. I forgot to tell you, I walk daily for exercise and have been distributing your literature at our high school. If one teenager is saved, then I'm blessed. Thank you.
Well, even if they don't get saved, you're going to be blessed whether they accept or reject, because the Lord sees your effort, and the Lord gives you a big E for effort. It really does. As long as you preach the gospel, he told Ezekiel the same thing. Go and preach to them, he says. They're not going to receive it, but do it anyway, and you're going to get the same reward, whether they accept or reject. Okay, because you're doing the job that I told you to do. And so a few people get discouraged if somebody doesn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't upset me at all. And then there's people out there in radio land that'll say, oh, that's awful that he said something like that, that he doesn't, it doesn't matter. Well, it should matter to the people out there in radio land whether you accept or not, because if you accept, you get to go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to wind up in the hell and the lake of fire. And you're going to be the one that's upset. I'm saved, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those of you people that hear the gospel and then just keep being the same obnoxious way, you are going to be in hell in the lake of fire if you don't straighten out. Now, I don't have a ice cream and cake or a cookies and milk type ministry. My ministry tells it like it is.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. Without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to serve God at all. Okay, but get the fear of the Lord. Start reading the Bible. And get some of these pieces of literature that I've written. Yeah, many, many souls are being saved from the literature and the tapes. And I will give you a schedule of the radio broadcasts, how you can get in touch with our radio broadcast, because my radio broadcast is everywhere in the world. A lot of it is in Africa and India. It's definitely on shortwave. It is here in the United States as well. And through Central and South America, all the continents receive the shortwave message. And then we have it on AM radio as well. Okay, now what else?
Next letters from Somanya, Ghana, West Africa.
Okay.
Hello, great one in Christ. It is a great pleasure to mail you these few words of mine. I hope the God that always blesses you blessed you. I have received the literature, and I thank you very much. May the God that never sleeps and never forsakes reward and bless you, your family, pastors, church members, and every single person that reads your literatures abundantly. Pastor, people are embracing your newsletters and literature. Now I have told and introduced everything to my pastor. I sent some of the literature to him, and he loved it and demanded for more. He then helped me in sharing them. Now our church will be going to a youth camp meeting. The pastor requested for more of your holy books. It is unfortunate many people here can't afford to buy holy Bibles. In fact, the one you sent me, they fought about it because everybody is urging to receive one. The most important thing now is my pastor needs your literature, the Messiah Book, World Newsletters, and Holy Bibles. He said I should offer you his email address. He said you should mail him so that he will be connected to you. Since we are all serving the same God, I believe you will never disappoint us. What I need most are the Bibles because they don't have them. Please send them within the shortest time because we want to send them to the youth camp meeting. We need about 3 parcels of Holy Bibles, 2 parcels of the Messiah, and 2 parcels of your literature. And even more, Pastor, please don't disappoint me, because at first I've been doing the sharing alone, but now since I told my pastor about it, he also joined me, and in fact we need more within some shortest time since the youth camp meeting is at stake. My pastor is very, very serious. He really needs them. When I offered him, he went through and praised God for the wonderful things he is doing. He got happy that you would help us with the literature and Bibles to distribute to your people. Let me assure you, they are winning many souls, delivering many souls. Send them, please. Thank you. God really bless you. Lilo from Samania, Ghana, West Africa.
Okay, the Lord bless you as well. And mail room, send them everything that they need. All right, and then is that it?
Yes.
Okay, so Sharon, let's begin with part 82 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And also, I'd like to add that when we send literature out, or tapes, or CDs, they're absolutely free of cost and no postage whatsoever. We pay the postage, all right? Because that's a big factor. There's a lot of charlatans on television now saying, we want to send you something absolutely free, and it might cost them a quarter to manufacture it, and they send it to you, and they charge you $5 or $6 or $10 handling charges, postage and handling charges, and so they're making money on their 25 to 50 cent or a dollar item. But that isn't the way it is with this. Everything we send you is absolutely prepaid. We pay it. We're picking up the tab on it. It's postage paid and absolutely free. Okay, our goal over here is to get the gospel out to the world. We're not looking to fleece God's sheep. The Lord says, feed my sheep, don't fleece them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Each of us has a mind, and we have affection, and we all have a will.
Yes, we do have a mind. We have a soul, we have a spirit, and in our soul is a will. And God never makes us do anything until the fear of the Lord comes upon us. Then he starts telling us what to do, and we know what the consequences will be if we don't do it. So the Apostle Paul said we'll be a castaway. He would, and if he would, it's for sure we would, if we don't continue preaching the gospel and obeying the Lord's commandments. Now, there are a few scriptures that I'd like to back that up with. Everybody turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Get chapter 30 in Deuteronomy. And verses 16:1-6. Chapter verses 16 through 19. Does everybody have that? All right, so I assume you people out in Radio Land have that as well. So go ahead and read that, Sharon.
In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments.
Okay, now to walk in his ways means that we do what he does when he was here on earth as a man. And he never lied, he never fornicated, he never committed adultery, he never stole anything from anybody, he never broke any of the moral law. And the moral law is intact still. And the people that tell you that you don't, that you can still sin after you're saved are false prophets. The Bible clearly tells us that that isn't so. And then you may read the scripture in 1 John that says, now if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father through the Son of Christ Jesus, and you know, he'll take away the sin. But that's just, that means if we repent of that sin. He's not, he doesn't condone it. He says that he that sinneth is of the devil. Okay? And it plainly states it in that chapter. Now, and in the 1 John. So go ahead.
And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear...
Yeah, that goes for all you people that call yourself Christians, and you've turned away from the Lord. You go to church to do business deals and to show off your new clothing, your glad rags, and, you know, just to go there to try to find a wife or a husband. There's going to be curses on you. Read it. Go ahead. Just reread the last line.
But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land.
You shall surely die. The Lord will kill you. The Lord says, those that forget God, he says, I'll tear you to pieces. And that's why I say that the way to renew your mind is to continue meditating on the Word of God. That means to be saying the Scriptures over and over again, over and over again, and be meditating on the ones so that you have them memorized, so that you're flooding your mind with the Scriptures. So that your mind becomes renewed. All right, then what else?
You shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, yes. Blessing.
Now you have the juice, the choice. In your spirit, soul, you have a will. So he says, okay, now I want you to choose. I want you to choose life or death. I want you to choose me or yourself. Now, there's still people even in this church that have chosen themselves. That's all they do. Yeah, they don't care if they abuse everybody around them. They don't care if they are put themselves first and foremost. It doesn't matter what comes or goes, they put themselves first. Okay, so go ahead, continue on.
I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing.
So your soul has a choice. God gives your soul a choice to choose life by doing what the Lord says, or death just by willingly, wantingly, and obnoxiously doing your own will, serving your rotten self. And because of that, you've taken advantage of other Christians. You've walked all over them. And therefore, the Lord has enlarged hell and the lake of fire because of the so many souls that are going to go there. Souls that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They're Christians. And then they decided with their own will that they don't want to do what the Lord says. And What a time to be doing something like this. This is just the very last moments of time. The very last moments to turn your soul into hell, to choose death rather than life. And so it's your choice, and you're going to know that at the judgment bar. The Lord keeps bringing these messages one after the other, and you get worse and worse, some of you. And you've chosen death rather than life. But then all of a sudden we get many letters in from people in Africa, India, the Philippines, United States, Mexico, Canada, everywhere in the world, saying they've chosen life, and that encourages me. But if they didn't, I still am encouraged in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Because the Lord, I recall all the different miracles that the Lord has done for me and through me and to me, and that gives me time to assess who I am and what the Lord has done for me. And some people never take the time to count the blessings that the Lord has given them. And so therefore they just think, you know, that they deserve what they have and that they deserve more than the other people around them. And God says he'll kill you, he'll shorten your life. And some people that are doing these things are desperately sick. I mean, they don't have good health. And you know, the Lord is very merciful by repeating messages to them, and he gave them space to repent, and then they don't, they get worse. And so all of a sudden he comes and rips them to pieces because they've forgotten God. All right, then continue.
Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Yeah, see, because even if you choose life, even your children will have longer life. The Lord told a person in my church that if they did this sin, this horrible sin, that the Lord himself would kill his son. And that's the thing that stopped that person from doing it, because this person knew without a doubt that God doesn't lie. If he says he'll kill you, and he says so right in this scripture, he'll kill you and your seed. He'll do it. Okay? Because he's not a liar like man. Okay? So let that sink into your soul. And people should repeat this scripture over and over in their soul so that it reproves themselves, because the way of life, the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. In other words, it's the highway of life. Okay, let's get back into the message.
Okay.
Well, we could do one more scripture. John 14:21. Now, the Lord tells us that people, we'll do two more scriptures, that those that love him keep his commandments, and so those that don't love him will not keep his commandments. And there's a lot of commandments. One of them is to take up your cross, deny yourself, and take up the cross and follow the Lord. That means do what he did. Let him live out his life in you, give you the power by living in you, and let him work in you instead of you abusing people and taking advantage of people and thinking that God owes you a favor. No, you owe God the favor. The Lord tells you that because of the fact that he has paid the price for us, that it's our reasonable duty to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him, give our bodies as a living sacrifice unto him, for him to live in us and work in us and represent his self in us. That's our reasonable duty, all right? So, and then people say, well, we don't have to do any work at all. False prophets. Now, the Lord warns many times in the book of Matthew and all over the place of the false prophets that will be here, chapter 24 in the book of Matthew, where he tells about the end of the world. And he tells that there was warns five times in that chapter alone of false prophets to be aware of them, because they're telling you all sorts of things. And it's getting so it's just every day you hear the Da Vinci Code, and then you hear these preachers doing a promotion for them. I mean, they've got the pictures of it, and they say the guy is doing it, and just one thing after the other. I refuse to talk about that piece of garbage. And people that want to spend money on stuff like that rather than tithe it unto a soul-winning church, you'll pay for that as well, okay? Because that's not keeping the Lord's commandments. The Lord said to read the Bible, not false doctrine. Because it's as though you're actually trying to see if you can be convinced that the Bible is wrong, so you're looking for a license to go out and sin. And God will kill you for that. All right, and then they're saying that Judas was a good guy. That's heresy. The Lord said he's a devil, and the Lord doesn't lie, and he's not sneaking around talking to Judas in a corner someplace and saying, go ahead and forsake me. No, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit entered into him that at one time, and then at this point in time the devil entered into him, and the Holy Spirit departed from him, and he betrayed the Son of God. And the Bible said that it was better that he had never been born than to have done something like that, because he's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And that Jesus was married. He's married, all right. He's married to those of us who are the corporate body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He was never married to any woman. Now, you people, the Bible says anyone that preaches any other doctrine other than that which is in the Bible is accursed. They're accursed. So, the people that wrote the Da Vinci Code and came up with this Judas thing, and also the Mary Magdalene having a child by Jesus, these people are cursed. And I want you people that have written these things to know that you're cursed. And I'm not going to promote your book like a lot of silly supposed to be evangelists are. Because it's a heresy, and the Lord has called me not to preach heresy, but to preach the kingdom of heaven. All these people, these either evil preachers or naive preachers that don't realize that they're promoting that guy's book, and I don't promote it at all. When I hear them talking about it, I just turn them off. I'd rather watch Lassie or Bozo or somebody where it's there isn't false doctrine. You know, it's just, what it is. It's a dog. All right? It doesn't try to lie and say that it's something else. It's amazing that they, are not saying that Lassie had cats instead of dogs, for babies. I mean, because, and there's enough silly people in this world. The Bible says that they know nothing. They're blind, and you could sell people on any false doctrine. I was considered one of the top salespeople in the world before I got saved, and the hardest thing that I've ever had to sell, and I'm not selling it, because everything we give away is free at postage paid. But and then we build homes for people that come into the church and want to serve the Lord. But we really scrutinize to make sure that they really want to do that. But it's just there's no possible way that we're going to let anyone move into this church if they are not 100% sold out to the Lord. All right, so let's continue on here. I just, there's no point in trying to convince people. But I don't sell anything. But the hardest thing that I've ever tried to convince people of in my entire life is about the Lord. And that's the one thing I know for sure is true, because I saw the Lord appear in front of me. And some people say, well, were you on drugs? No, I never was. Never was on drugs. I was the executive vice president of the world's largest chain of health spas, and I was into the strength, health, and energy, and I could have won Mr. America contest and also Mr. Universe, but I wouldn't go out dressed in those little jock straps. That's the only thing that prevented me from being there, because everyone said I would have won. So you don't get that kind of a build and in that kind of health by taking drugs, all right? So, no, I saw the Lord, and I gave up a Beatles album that's worth over $100 million. I still own it, but I won't sell it to prove to people that I'm not in the ministry for money. And we've been down and out. We know what it's like to be broke in this ministry. We went through the fire without money, and money just doesn't get to me. Okay, I don't mind. I can eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or I can eat, you know, whatever the Lord provides. I've been there, and so any of you people that are out there that are not that are hungry, you could call and we'll send you food. And because we know what it feels like to be hungry. I do. Most of the people in this church don't know, but I know. Okay, and then go ahead and read.
John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them.
Those that hear the commandments and keep them. That's the crucial thing. Because everybody hears the commandments, and we get the gospel to everybody, that we can. Hundreds of millions of people. Then finish it.
He it is that loveth me.
Then what?
And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
So if you're not keeping all the commandments, and if your pastors tell you that, oh, you don't want to be a fanatic, or if anyone says you're a fanatic for keeping the Lord's commandments, just turn around and call them fanatics for not doing it. They're fanatics for Satan. Now, I think God deserves a few fanatics, don't you?
Yes.
Because you see all these people rooting for football, basketball, baseball teams, and crowding around this devil, the Pope, and other devils that have exalted themselves in the world. The Lord deserves complete obedience. So if you love the Lord, then you keep his commandments. Now, go to John 14:24.
He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me.
So if you're not keeping all of God's commandments, don't say that you love the Lord. You want to know why? Because you don't love the Lord. The Lord said, if you love me, you keep his commandments. And the whole duty of man, everything that you're supposed to do, is to love God and keep his, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Okay, let's continue on with the message.
Even though God wants us, a lot of people are not happy to let him have them. Even though God has the legal right, which is the reason to possess us, literally possess, that we're one of his possessions, we may not have the heart to let him do it. Therefore, when God desires us to consecrate ourselves to him, we must know that he's moving on our hearts.
And the reason that the Lord wants us to consecrate ourselves to him is for our own good. Because if you don't, you're going to the lake of fire. You say, well, what kind of a God is that? No, he's doing that because Satan has a hold on you and you're on your way to hell. He's just reaching his hand out and telling you to be let him possess you rather than the devil. But if you prefer to have Satan possess you, in other words, you want to be demon-possessed by the demons, by Satan, well, then God has nothing to do with you, and you send yourself to hell and the lake of fire. And the Bible says that the lake of fire exists, and that if you don't believe Jesus, which is the word of God, then you're going to hell for that in the lake of fire. So every word of the Bible is very much anointed and has a very, very profound meaning, and it has to be observed, or there's no possible way for you to receive mercy on the day of judgment. Okay, then what?
God gives us the motive of loving him, that we might be willing to consecrate ourselves to him.
Right, so the Lord showers the blessing through the Holy Spirit, and he says that if we keep his commandments, that anything that we ask shall be given unto us as to keep you going, to motivate you to continue going. Now, the Lord, sometimes he puts us through fire as well. Sometimes he doesn't give you everything, but it's for your own good. You must go through the fire. You must have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Otherwise, there's no way you can get into the kingdom of heaven, because God can't move into you because you're not broken. You're whole. You are like a hard shell around you. But the Lord wants to have you broken, your spirit broken, and having a contrite heart, so his spirit can enter into your heart, into your spirit, and save your soul, and give you the power to be able to keep the commandments of the Lord. Now, unless the Spirit of God enters into us and enters our heart and our spirit, it's called circumcision of the spirit. No longer are we to be circumcised in the flesh, because that doesn't do any good. And that doesn't bring the power of God into our mortal bodies by being circumcised in the flesh. But the power of God enters into our bodies, the initial power, when we are saved, when the Spirit enters our spirit. Then the Lord told the children, he called them children, to not depart from Jerusalem until they be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, tarry there in Jerusalem, in the upper room, until the time that the Holy Spirit comes upon them, because he wanted them in the ministry, and it's impossible to be in the ministry without the power of God. There's a lot of people you can just see that they don't have God's power. You can hear them and not feel the presence of the Lord, or you can not feel the presence of the Lord dealing with you while they're speaking, because the Lord isn't speaking through them. And they're preaching by the letter rather than by the Spirit. And the Bible says that even the Bible, if it's preached by the letter, in other words, without you being anointed with the Holy Spirit, that it'll kill you. It'll bore you to death when you're sitting in congregations for the preachers not anointed, and you just want to get away from the church. You just want to get away from that preacher. You just keep looking at your watch and can't wait till you get out of there. But my churches, they hold services 7 days a week. We have 8 services a week. We have 7 plus 2 on Sunday, so that's 8. And then we have around-the-clock prayer meetings. Everyone has a prayer hour. And we hold a vigil before the Lord with prayers. And we expose Satan on earth so that the power, this exposing of him, binds him on earth so that God Almighty will bind him in heaven. All right, let's continue on.
Now we have the reason for consecrating ourselves.
The reason for consecrating ourselves is because he purchased us, but the reason for it also is for us to go to heaven, okay, because we're no possible way that we can get into the kingdom of heaven without being totally surrendered to the Lord. It's very unlikely that you'd want to spend eternity with the Lord if you don't want to spend all your time with him here on earth. So the Lord knows that, and he says, if you spend time with me here, in other words, if you consecrate yourself, put your entire being into my hands. What that is a transfer from you being in the hands of Satan. And now, Satan having to fork you over to the Lord and put you in God's hands. And when you're in his hands, you're in his hands because he paid the price for your salvation. And he paid the price for your crucifixion. And he gives you the power to be crucified and then follow him. Because in this world, there are many temptations. And in this world, there's so many people that are sitting in churches that whenever temptation confronts them, they don't have any power of God in them to come against the temptations or to smite it down with the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the power to turn away from sin. And so we're consecrated to the Lord, because that means that we've died out to ourselves, and we don't have any interest any longer in ourselves other than getting into the kingdom of heaven and doing something for God and letting God do something in us to win other souls to the Lord so that they too can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we cannot do any of these works unless we've been totally slain. The spirit, our spirit is totally broken. We've surrendered our entire self over to God, because like when you give a gift to somebody, you surrender it over to them and you have no power to tell the person what to do with that gift. And it's the same thing when we give our spirit over to the Lord, our entire being, our body, so that he can live in it. We have no right to take it back, and we have no right to do what we want to do with the present or the sacrifice of ourself, a living sacrifices of ourself unto the Lord. We have no right to try to resurrect again into the world, because we have been, we've given ourselves to the Lord, and so therefore that means that we're on the altar and we've turned into a heap of ashes. We're no longer ourselves. We're no longer the kind of person that likes to do the things of the world. And then we, this is consecration. That's what that is. And then we are vessels that are like putty in the hands of the Lord. And he can work his, represent himself in the world that way. But when I see a person that is in the congregation or anywhere, and I see them doing the exact opposite of what the Lord says, commands us to do, I know that that person is not consecrated. And I have no respect for them whatsoever, because they're phonies. They're hypocrites. They say they're Christians, and they've never surrendered themselves unto the Lord. If they had, the Lord would be working in them and doing his will and work in them, and they would not be doing things that are totally contrary to the Word of God. Okay? Because when you're consecrated, that's God, you're in God's hands. And God isn't going to let you commit adultery or fornication or desire to have many men if you're a woman, or to have many sexual encounters with some man's wife. Will not do that in and through you. And he will not lie. If somebody's lying to me, I know they're not consecrated. They're hypocrites if they're saying they're Christians and I'm going to heaven. If you tell them no, you're not, unless you get consecrated. You say, do you mean I'm not going to heaven? I mean, yes, you were not going to heaven. You're going to the lake of fire if you don't become consecrated. You must be in the hands of the Lord. Okay, go ahead and continue.
Now we have the reason for consecrating ourselves, but now we need the motive.
Well, there's many reasons for doing that, because when we do that, we know our body's going to be used by the Lord to win many souls. That's one reason. Number two, the number one reason is because he purchased us. He has the right to use us that way. All right? And when we see liars, I know I don't have any respect for a liar. To me, I have no more respect for them than I do a cur dog. Okay? Well, does that mean you don't? No, I'll still witness to them, but I don't have any respect for them until they give themselves over to the Lord. And the Lord has no respect for you either. He calls you chaff, trash to be burned. He calls you goat, dog, pig. The Lord is a name caller. When somebody gets saved, they go into the church, and they first go into the church to find themselves a man. Or maybe a woman. Or they go to the church maybe to get some business acquaintances. And then they say the sinner's prayer and they get saved. And then they go out into the world and somebody, some female comes up to the guy that just got saved and says, hey, how are you? Come on, you want to go have some drinks and party tonight? And the person just can't fight that because he doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's not interested in giving his life over to the Lord. And he's a weakling, and every opportunity, if a woman is married and her husband isn't looking and she has to go to the doctor's office or she has to go downtown, shopping or something, she's smiling at other men, and this woman is not consecrated. Or she's looking to for romance in all the wrong places. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Johnny Lee is a friend of mine. He did commercials for me for my store in Nashville. He's had that hit, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And love is the keeping of God's commandments. And the first one is to consecrate yourself, to pick up the cross. Deny yourself. Denying yourself means you're consecrating yourself. You get on the altar and die. You give yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Okay, then what?
The motive for our consecration to the Lord is the love of God.
Yeah. So we have the reason for it, the many reasons, and then there are many motives too. Because after the Lord has entered into you and you're consecrated, the motive is you want to see a lot of souls saved. That's my motive. Okay, and I know that the Lord is working in me, so I know He's a good, loving God, but He's also a severe God. He means what He says. Okay? He means what He says. You forget the scriptures, and you don't concentrate on them and meditate on them and keep repeating them and filling your mind with the Lord rather than something evil in this world, you've never been converted. You're the same. And some people become worse after they've said they're Christians, and they more than they are today. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. We have to give ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Go ahead, read it.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Yes, you're still alive, but yet you're sacrificed. Your will and the purpose and the reason of doing things before, you put them into the reasoning of the Lord. The reason is because, or the basis, or the reason for your consecrating yourself is that He died for you and resurrected for you and kept the commandments for you, and that shows us that the commandments can be kept in a human body, because He was a human with the very same Spirit living in Him that He'll send into you when you say the sinner's prayer. And so there's no excuse for you to still remain a liar or a thief or a person that just runs over people and think if you don't get your way that you're going to just flip out or do something and walk around arrogantly because you don't get what you want, or that maybe your anniversary is more of a special day than the death of Christ. You exalt yourself above Christ, better than the birth of Christ and the death of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ. No, you want your anniversary or your birthday honored more than that. And if you don't get exactly what you want, you're the most miserable, wretched thing on the face of this earth. Okay? Finish it off.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2.
It's your reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world.
Oh, yeah. In other words, stop doing what this world does, what you did before. Because the world runs over each other. And they say, me, I want to be first. I want to, I don't care about other people if I make them wait on me. I don't care about you. That's the attitude of the world. But you are to let, that isn't the Lord's attitude. And when I see somebody that has that kind of attitude, I know they're not consecrated to the Lord. I know the Lord is not living in them. They're not allowing the Lord to live out His life in them. They're phonies, hypocrites. Then what?
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Well, what's the renewing of the mind? That means, I told you, I'm going to tell you again, you just meditate and keep memorizing these scriptures. Let them, instead of foul, evil thoughts that come into you, when they do that, you immediately start rehearsing scriptures that cause you to continue to be concentrated. We're in a war. The devil is always warring against your mind, and he wants your mind, and the Lord wants your mind. He wants it because he wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Therefore, he tells you, by the renewing of your mind by consecration, by just reading the scriptures, the same one, until you've got it memorized and you've got it down, the ones that stick in your brain like the hair in a drain. Okay, now continue on.
Whenever the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts, we will naturally be willing to become the prisoners of love and consecrate ourselves to God.
Right. The main motive for me is I fear the Lord. I know that if I don't do that, I'll go to hell. That's the reason, another reason why I serve the Lord. It's mainly the fear. Now, people can come up with all other reasons, but it's the fear of the Lord. God told Moses. Moses, incidentally, had a very close association with the Lord. And he had a very close association with him. And he told Moses that if they don't fear me, they will not serve me. And if you don't fear God, you will not serve him. As a matter of fact, you are not serving him. Not with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? And Moses did serve the Lord. He feared him so much that his skin quaked on him. And Job feared the Lord. And all the patriarchs that really made it feared the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
This sort of consecration, motivated by the love of God
and by the fear of the Lord,
is mentioned many times and very clearly in two places in the scriptures.
Right, but the fear is the main thing, the love of God. The fear, you fear God so much that you keep his commandments, and you know that he loved you so much that he laid down his life for you and died on the cross, went to hell for you, then resurrected up and became the Holy Spirit as he was ascended, after he ascended into heaven, and now he has become the Comforter, and he comes into our mortal bodies, giving us the power with the Father by the Spirit to be remain consecrated. That is, if we continue renewing our mind on a daily basis by letting the Word penetrate our minds, because from the mind it goes down into the soul. We have to understand what the scriptures mean with our mind first, and then receive them into our heart. Okay, then what?
One of them is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15.
I'll read it.
Okay. For the love of God, for the love of Christ, constraineth us. Constraineth is actually in the original text. The meaning of it is, quote, the rushing of waters, unquote. He died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him.
Now, see, when you see a person living unto themselves, they don't care about anybody in the, and like you see a family, anybody in the house, or they don't care about anybody in the church. There's a person in the church that they tie up the bathroom, and everybody else in the whole church is waiting, and they're just in there maybe for 15 minutes, a half hour, sometimes up to an hour. And that's the same kind of person that believes that their birthday or their anniversary is far more important than consecrating themselves unto the Lord. They're self-willed, they're selfish, and they're disgusting. All right? Okay, and then what?
He died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves.
But unto the Lord. Okay, keep going.
But unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. This is for our sakes, not his.
Yes, because the Lord has got it made. He's sitting in heaven. The reason that he's dealing with us with his dealings is to try to get the stupid people, the ungodly, the unspiritual people, that their souls, their rotten souls, will die, and that their spirit will continue on with the Lord's Spirit in it, so their souls can be saved. It's for their own good. They think they're being abused if they're told they can't have what they want. at the very moment that they want it. Well, anyway, my time is up. And I pray you've got some real good Bible teaching here today. And as tomorrow you're going to want to tune in to part 83 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And the reason for God's life living in you is to have the power to sustain yourself in the tribulations that are on the earth right now. The Bible states that there's swarms of pestilences in the world today. It's like at an epidemic, and it's getting worse and worse. No one knows from one day to the other whether you're going to catch one of these diseases, and no one knows if these different plagues are going to hit you. That the Lord said, He says that one third of the whole world population is going to be destroyed at one time. That means if there's 6 billion people, 2 billion are going to die at one time. So you ain't seen nothing yet. And the people that are telling you that you're going to be raptured before the tribulations, they're liars, they're false prophets. Jesus said immediately after the tribulations that He's going to come back. Okay? So the people that are saying that are telling you, you don't have to gear up to be saved. Just, stay. It's the devil telling you that. And I'll bring more messages on that later. But right now, let's get your soul right with the Lord. Let's say this prayer. Now, say it to the Lord so that your soul can be saved. Now, repeat after me, but say it to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord and thank Him for saving your soul. And thank God for giving you enough sense to say that prayer. Now, time is evaporating very fast. When I was closing my eyes and praying, I saw the 18, 17, 16, 15. I could see it like that. Every second that you're living, you're getting closer and closer to the time when you're going to gasp your last breath. When your heart, you're only one heartbeat and only one breath from heaven. So just stay saved now, because only those that continue to the end, serving, letting the Lord serve Himself through you, shall be saved. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this tape, program number 184, or a CD, absolutely postage paid.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, now make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 83 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and keep on in the Lord. Read that Bible, meditate in Jesus' name, amen.